First John chapter number 1. Been praying for some time, asking the Lord. Finished a couple books, teaching through a couple books of the Bible, and wanted to kind of get the mind of the Lord on where I should go next. And I just, boy, the Spirit of God just kept bringing me back to First John and reading it, and it's helped me, strengthened me. And I thought, I never taught through this book since I've been pastor here, and the Lord just gave a stamp of approval on it this week. And so we're going to go through verse by verse on Wednesday nights, 1 John, and we'll begin in chapter 1, of course, and then we'll cover, Lord willing, the first 7 verses. And so let's all stand together for the reading of the Bible. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go through these opening verses, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to properly introduce, properly lay the foundation upon all that's going to be taught in this book. And Lord, prepare our hearts, stir our hearts. Thank you for this amazing book of the Bible. May we be profited by it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is the first epistle of John. John wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Sometimes for new converts, we'll say, go in your Bibles to 1 John, and they'll find themselves in the Gospel of John. Sometimes you will say, go to the Gospel of John, they'll find themselves in 1 John. But God used John the Beloved to write these 5 books of the Bible, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And of course, the devil thought that he'd just take care of him and keep him from causing more problems. So they stuck him on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus came down and said, get a pen and paper. I got one more book for you. And he wrote the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so God used him as that pen, as God gave him the words to write down the inspired words of God. Now, John was an apostle. Let me explain this. John was an apostle. Say, preacher, what's the difference between a disciple and an apostle? What were the qualifications of an apostle? What does that mean? And it's important because what you're reading in verses number 1 and 2 and 3 is John giving his credentials. Again, we're going to deal in one of the other epistles, if we go ahead and do 2 John and 3rd, and we might write after this because they're manageable, and I think it'd be good to cover 3 of them in a row if the Lord lets me. But he eventually is going to have to deal with a character by the name of Diotrephes, who come to the place wanting to come to the church house for one reason. He loved to have the preeminence. And he tried to undercut the authority of John. And he's trying to work against that. And you know, somebody that wants authority will attack the one that God has given the authority. And that's what was happening. So John, in this very first epistle, God just allowed him to say, make sure that you put down your credentials. Now, what does it mean to be an apostle? Apostle, if you look at the word, means a special delegate of Jesus Christ, an ambassador, one that has been sent and commissioned personally by Jesus Christ. So one of the things about an apostle that's different than a disciple is that they had to be personally won and discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Qualifications of an apostle was one who has been personally reached and discipled by Jesus Christ. So you know what John does here? This is kind of exciting. I like this. Because here's the question. Does John qualify as an apostle? All right, here we go. Look at verse number one. That which was from the beginning. By the way, he's talking about Jesus Christ there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now think about this. Let that sink in for a minute. What John is saying here is he said, listen, am I an apostle? Well, I've heard him, and I've seen him with my eyes. And I didn't just see him once from a distance. I looked upon him, and that has the connotation of I've spent time in his presence watching him, listening to him. I've looked upon him. He said, these hands have handled him. He said, what is it that he has heard and seen with his eyes and looked upon and his hands have handled? That which was from the beginning, the capital W, word of life. Which shouldn't surprise us that this same John was used to write in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the capital W, word. And the word was with God and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That which was from the beginning. He went on to write through inspiration in the gospel of John, all things were made by him and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life and the life was the light of men. Not just the word, but the word of life. Think about that. It's just not saying here that Jesus was the word. It also brings that idea of life, the word of life. So in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. In him was life and the life was the light of men. John also wrote John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what it sounds like to me? His credentials are checking out. You know what? He's not making up a story that he just one time saw Jesus, so I'm an apostle. He's got the credentials. He spent time with him. Think about that. Well, I sat back in my chair this afternoon, and I just kind of, allowed myself to imagine John's opportunity. Here he was on the shore of the Galilee, and Jesus came by, and he was a fisherman, and Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway, he left his net and followed Jesus. I mean, how neat is that? And for the next 3 years, folks, listen to me, just about every waking moment of every day, he spent in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there were brief times of separation. There were times that Jesus sent them on a little preaching tour of their own. But you know what? For the vast majority of his time, he got to spend that listening to Jesus and hearing Jesus and walking with Jesus. And so that's kind of neat. That's kind of neat. In John chapter 6, verse 47, he wrote, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. We're talking about the word of life. So Jesus is the word, but he's not just the word. He's the word of life. Now look in verse number 2. Again, we're going to see this. He's going to hit it again in case you missed it. All right. For the life was manifested. This word of life, Jesus is the word. Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. For the life, speaking of Jesus, was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Well, this is good. Again, he says, we've seen it. We bear witness of it. We show it unto you. And by the way, this eternal life, Jesus Christ, was with the Father and it was manifested unto us. Now, let me kind of summarize all that. John firmly establishes in the first two verses himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He has seen Christ with his eyes. He has heard Christ with his ears. He intimately observed Christ. He's touched him with his hands. He's handled the word of life. He's witnessed personally the supernatural life that Christ then gives. John has seen this life. He spent his life bearing witness of what he has seen. Now he takes up a pen and under the influence of divine inspiration, he's going to show unto each of us who read these words, that word of life, that eternal life that was personally manifested in him. Now, just let that sink in. You know, there's some people that it'd be nice to be able to hang around and get to know. And one of the joys of my life has been able to hang around with some older preachers. And one of the things that I get them talking about is preachers that they knew in their youth as young preachers that I only read about. There's no way I could know. Oh, I guess about 3 or 4 years ago, we talked about Bobby Robertson going on to heaven and 60 years and 8 months, the pastor down there in Walkertown, North Carolina. I mean, he pastored that long. Didn't live that long. He pastored over 60 years. Well, he was preaching for Brother Castle several years ago, and Brother Castle called me up and said, hey, I'm going to take Brother Bobby Robertson to Cracker Barrel. And I said, what time? I'll be there. I'll move whatever I've got to move. I want to be there. And so we got over there, and we sat in that round table that you walk into. I don't know why they only have one round table, but, you know, that's they do. And so that we sat there, and Brother Castle had asked several other preachers that and just wanted to share Brother Robertson with some, just let him have that opportunity. And so I came in there, and we sat around the table. And so, and you know what we did for 2 hours? Well, we ate, number one. That's important. And but mostly we just got him telling stories. We just got him telling stories. And I'd say, Brother Robertson, do you ever have Harold Seitler in your church? And he'd go, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, the first time I had Brother Seitler in my church, and he'd go off telling 2 or 3 stories. And you know what, folks? This isn't somebody he just heard about. This is somebody that he spent time with. He didn't just go hear him preach. He hosted him. He took him out to eat. Most of the stories he told us about some of these Giants. I said, man, I love hearing B.R. Lakin preach. I said, do you have a Brother Lakin? He said, I had him about 12, 15 years in a row. Let me tell you some things about him. And again, I'm just sitting there soaking this up. We're just throwing names out there. And you know what? Because he, again, was able to spend some intimate time with them, well, I learned some things about them that nobody else could have taught me. Okay, not somebody that just showed up at the back of an auditorium and heard him preach one time. And that been a blessing. Amen. But that's not the same as spending time with him. Listen, folks, I want you to get this. God used John to write this book, and he did it on purpose. Okay, what you're going to hear here is not from some man that heard from another man who heard from another man what some apostle told him one time. This is the man that literally laid his head on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the man that had intimate communion with him, talked about things and watched the miracles and saw it. I want you to let this sink in, okay? Listen, there's all kinds of scorners and doubters out there that try to cast a negative light on the scripture. Let me tell you something. They're saying what they think. We're reading what he saw. There are men that God used in this Bible who had an eyewitness experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, but not just from afar, intimately spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me, I'm more interested in what they have to say about the Lord Jesus than some professor down here at the heathen university that wants to shake the faith of our young people in the Word of God. I mean, what a neat thing to be able to sit. Now, listen, I hope that means something to you. I got excited about that. And I thought to myself, okay, it's one thing to be able to sit for 2 hours with Bobby Robertson and hear about people that talked about Jesus. And that's great. But what about let's take several Wednesday nights and sit down and listen to somebody that spent time with the Lord Jesus and was able to do so for several years of his life. Now he says, now listen to me. He said, I've seen him and I've heard him and I've observed him and I've touched him and I've handled him and I've personally witnessed the supernatural life that he gives other people. I've watched the changed lives. John saw this life. He experienced it for himself. My life was changed. And I've spent my life bearing witness of what I've seen and what I've experienced. And now he said, I'm going to take up a pen and with the under the influence of divine inspiration, I want to show unto each of us who read these words that eternal life that was personally manifested in him. That's what he says here. And he says, verse 2, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now notice verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, this is fun, declare we unto you. I think I'll sit up and listen. I think I want to pay attention to this. You know, I think this is probably more important than what you're going to read on Facebook this week, you know. I think I'd want to find out what this man has to say. That ye also, why? He did it for two reasons. He says, why am I going to take the time to declare it unto you? Why don't I just hold these precious memories and keep them in my heart? Because that's not why Jesus touched a life, and that's not why he changed a life. You know what? If we experience the miraculous change that only a true-hearted encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ can give us, that is not something we ought to keep private. That is something we ought to share with others. And he said, I'm going to manifest it unto you for two reasons. Number one, that ye also may have fellowship with us. He said, I want you to know by the time we get done here that we're representing properly the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're not phonies. We're not fakes. He said, we are declaring unto you what we have seen. And you know what? That ought to open your heart to want to join with us. And again, isn't it interesting that John, once again, is having, you can see the subtles, but there's always people, there's always going to be people that want to attack men of God and attack people that preach the word of God. It's going to go on. It's gone on since the book was written. It's going to go on for till Jesus puts an end of it. There's always going to be that. But he says, listen, I want you to feel comfortable having fellowship with us. Why? Because it goes on to say, and may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Young people, I can give you some good advice here. Be careful who you're hanging around. Be careful who you have fellowship with. Is the person that you are looking to and letting have big influence in your life, can it be said of them that they have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ? Is that what they're all about? Then you know what? That's a green light to go ahead and have fellowship with them. Amen. But be careful who you let have influence in your life. So the first thing he said was, I'm going to share this with you and declare this to you for the sake of fellowship, so that you know that my fellowship was with the Father, my fellowship's with the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, you can have fellowship with me and I can help you. And then number two, verse 4, and these things write we unto you. Here's the second reason. What's it say? That your joy may be full. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You go to the end of this book, and you know what you're going to find out as a believer? This is going to spike the joy level up in your heart. I mean, and we get to read the words that God gave John the Beloved, who of even the inner circle of disciples had a special and sweet and intimate relationship with Jesus like nobody else. And you know what? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to find out some things about what that did in his life. God used him to write these words to us. And that's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. And so, all right. So, okay, we set the stage. Okay, John, you've got our attention. All right, we're on the edge of our seats. All right, we see your credentials. All right, I mean, you spent all that time with Jesus. Tell us something. Here we go, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Okay, wow, let's blow the trumpets. He's going to tell us a lot of things, but of all the things that he's going to tell us, this is the very first thing he wants you to know. This then is the message which we heard of him. That him is Jesus. And declare unto you, here it is, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What do you think about that? Of all the things that he could have shared, of all the things that God could have chosen to have John write first, he said, come on, John, give me your best. I mean, of all the things, what's your grandest and greatest memory? What's the most life-changing message? What did he declare unto you? You know what he said? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Wow, that's good, isn't it? That's good. Listen, folks, this is the same thing, again, that we heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and from the Lord Jesus Christ as John wrote the Gospel of John. In John 1:4, we read this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Remember what he said? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know what God had him write? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what God had him write in John 1, 7? The same came for a witness to bear witness of the capital L, light, that all men through him might believe. You know what God had him write in John 1, 8? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that capital L, light. And when he had John write in John 1:9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what had him write in John chapter 3, verse 19? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Had John write in John 3, of chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, I hope you're listening to this. Verse 21 of chapter 3, God had John write this. We're talking about back in the Gospel of John. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Wrought in God. Now, folks, listen to me. We're going to lay some groundwork. This whole idea that you can be of the light and walk in darkness, that's about to be destroyed, all right? There's not even going to be a question by the time we get done with this chapter, with this book. This whole idea that I can put my light up on Sunday and I can play and dress up and pretend to be a Christian and go out and walk in darkness the rest of the thing. And by the way, I'm saved. I'm saved. Well, you know what? Hope you are. But I'm going to tell you something. By the time you get done with this book, I think you're going to know one way or another if you'll come in and sit down. And by the way, you oughtn't to be worried about trying to convince everybody else what you think is right. You better start looking in your heart and figure out what is truly right. Because you can gamble with a lot of things, maybe just lose a few bucks. You gamble with eternity and lose on that, you're in the devil's hell forever. And God's trying to say, listen, this whole idea that God is light, but he condones darkness. God is light, but he walks in darkness. God is light, but he applauds darkness. God is light, but he's led you into darkness. He's saying, let me tell you one thing I've learned by spending time 3 years with the light, capital L light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God had him write in John 8:12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He had John write in John 11:9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. In John chapter 11, verse 10, sounds like the Bible's kind of amen in itself here, amen. John chapter 11, verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I can say amen to that, amen to that, amen to that, amen to that. John 12:36, while you have light, believe in that light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He had him write in John 12:46, I am come. Now listen to this. This is the last light reference in John that he wrote. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now folks, listen to me. I'm going to give this to you and I want you to stay with me. John is going to, in this book, compare the light of God and his son. Here it is over here, the light of God and his son, to the darkness of sin in this present world. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to draw a clear line between the two of those two things. And he's going to say, let me tell you something. You may be talking about the light, but are you walking in the light? And by the way, it doesn't matter if everybody in the world thinks you're saved. You know what? 1 second after your heart beats for the last time, it ain't going to matter what anybody thought about anything. All that's going to be matter is whether or not, listen, you can put on the facade and you can talk out of both sides of your mouth and you can claim this and claim that and stand up in righteous indignation over this. But let me tell you something. If you are more comfortable in the dark than you are in the light, you better take a look at something. Now, stay with me here. John is going to compare the light of God and his son to the darkness of sin in this present world. This epistle is going to declare unto us the difference between light and darkness. And of course, as children of God, encourage us to walk in the light. By the way, that's not just the theme of the book of John and what God had John write. I just went through and grabbed a handful of the verses I could have used. How about, say, Bible? Does the Bible support this whole thing about here's light and children of God are children of light and here's darkness And you know what? If you're not safe, you're over here in the darkness. That's where you're most comfortable. That's what you pursue. That's what has your heart. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded his light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? How about this, Ephesians 5:8, but ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:16-14-16. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How about Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sin. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, where it talks about the coming, the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. He said, if you're brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Hey, where are you at tonight? Oh, preacher, this is Wednesday night. I mean, come on, only saved people come to church on Wednesday night. I don't know. All right, how about 2 Timothy 1? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Is that you over here? Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his, I love this, thank you for this adjective, unto his marvelous light. Now I want to go ahead and lay the groundwork and tell you, this is going to be the reoccurring theme of 1 John. You know what the Bible's going to, what 1 John's going to do? It's going to time and time again hold the scriptures up and make you look at them in the mirror and answer a question. Are you truly born again? Are you truly saved? Don't come talking to me about some little prayer you prayed when you were in second grade, blah, 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 blah. And yet every inclination of your life is to run to the darkness. You're more comfortable with the world than you are the people of God. You know, sorry, but that's not true salvation. You've been duped. You've been fooled. This is going to be the recurring theme of 1 John. Have you truly accepted the light of the glorious gospel? Light, not darkness, light. Are you now walking in that light? Watch this. Let me ask this question. Are we light talkers or light walkers? A lot of people play lip service. You know, but good night. Don't dare suggest they might be lost. I mean, you want to talk about a preacher getting attacked. Excuse me, I just happen to know this King James Holy Bible. And I got two eyeballs, by the way. And what I think or doesn't think isn't the issue anyway. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's all that's going to matter. It's not going to be whether or not you duped Pastor Jerry Ross one way or another. I'm going to be out of that. I'm going to stand before God for my own life. Okay, but you better figure out where you're at. You better figure out where you're at. Okay, one of the great purposes of the first epistle of John, watch this, this is so good for us, is to allow us to test our conversion, to see if it is true and see if it is sincere. This book will give assurance to the doubter and doubt to those who are wrongfully assured. Let me say it again. This book will give assurance to the doubter and doubt to those who are wrongfully assured. You say, is that true? Are you still there in 1 John? I've read a lot of verses, and I'm going to let you follow me along, okay? 1 John chapter 1. Can we look down then in verse number 6 and 7, and we'll wrap this thing up? Look at verse 6. Don't put your shoes on yet. I got some verses to read, all right? Verse 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in what? What's the next two words? And you know who you're lying to? Excuse me. You're not lying to me. You're lying to yourself. And you're lying to God. I didn't, by the way, break into your house and get your Bible out and write that in there. Okay, leave Jerry Ross out of the way of this. Take a look at what the Bible says. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Isn't that interesting? Do not the truth. A lot of people speaking the truth, but how about doing the truth? But notice verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, all of a sudden, we have fellowship one with another. You know what? I'm sorry, look right up here. You don't have a problem with your preacher if you're walking in the light. Yeah, you don't have a problem with people that are living separated lives if you walk in the light. I'm sorry, you just don't. All right? We have fellowship one with another. Watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Stay with me here. Watch this. As we study this book together, you will come to one or two conclusions. You will know that you are saved, or you will know that you are not. Are you going to come back? You ought to. This thing is worth finding out and figuring out. Okay, not for my sake, for your sake. This is a book of knowing. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? If I was going to say, preacher, what's the theme of the book of 1 John? Knowing. You better know. Say, well, why would you say that? All right, I'm going to let you get involved here. How about this? This is the book of knowing. 1 John chapter 2. You want to just look at these verses as we go through this real quick? 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Look at verse 4, same chapter. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a what? Now watch this. I'm going to say this and I'll get right back to it. Again, this book will test what we say against how we walk. And it will pull no punches in doing so. This book is not afraid to call you a liar. It's already done it twice. It's not a, listen, you know what? Well, Brother Ross said, no, stop hiding behind Brother Ross said. Okay, you're walking in darkness and you want to tell me you're part of the light. The Bible says you're a liar. He's saying that for your sake to wake you up. Come on now, let's just keep reading. All right, chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now you're going to see that there are some recurring things that are true about every born-again Christian. By the way, the standard is not perfection. I'm not going to finish verses 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 1. We'll do them next week. Okay? But what is the theme of 8, 9, and 10? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's not talking about sinless perfection here. It's talking about a bent of life. All right, so stay with me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. Notice this. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. That is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Not signed up to serve with him. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. That is from the beginning. Chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Stay with me. Stay with me. Preacher, I thought there was going to be one. Oh, there is. There's one Antichrist in the book of Revelation. The Bible says there's a lot of Antichrists. You know, it used to be people were kind of like pro-God or they were neutral. One of the things I said to the men as we're going door to door, Don't you understand and don't you see that more and more, even in rural America, we are experiencing the spirit of Antichrist? I mean, folks, I'm just telling you, 10, 15 years ago, I could knock on 100 doors and I'd hardly have anybody kick back, push back, refuse the material, shoot at God, shoot at the Bible, shoot at belief. It is happening every week I'm out there now. The spirit of Antichrist. Let me say, are you pro-Christ? Are you anti-Christ? Antichrist? Better figure out which side you're on. Amen. How about chapter 1, verse John 2, verse 18. Little children, is the last time I read that one. How about verse 20? But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know what the Holy One, Holy Spirit of God, it'll give you some assurances. It'll help you to know some things. Look at verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Sounds like we can know some things. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All the verses that has the word know on it, I'm reading them all. Chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. I'm tired of people misrepresenting God, misrepresenting Jesus Christ, misrepresenting the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm just following the Spirit. Oh, really? And he's telling you to do what? And to act what way and to wear what? That's the Holy Spirit telling you all those things. You're lying to yourself. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not the brethren abideth in death. How do we know that we've passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. The easiest people for us to get along with, people that's head over heels in love with Jesus. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. 1 John, preacher, are you going to explain all these? We're going to go through the whole book. Amen. I'm just reading them now, but we're going to deal with every one of these, all right? Chapter 3, verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. What kind of spirit did you walk in here with tonight? It should tell you about whether you're saved or not, amen. 1 John 4:2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Yeah, there's more than one spirit. We're going to be taught that we better try them. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Sounds like a separation. Sounds like light and darkness again. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, And we are in him that is true, even in the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal God. What do you think about that? You talk about an amazing book. We're going to not just visit this once, twice, three, four, five. You know what this book does? It's going to come alongside of us. It's going to say, listen, are you a child of God? Are you truly saved? Are you truly born again? I understand, folks, that born again Christians can get lured over here. They start hanging around backsliders. They begin to backslide. But I'm going to tell you, if you're truly saved, it'll vex your righteous soul. You can't stay over here. If you're truly saved, you can't stay over here. And this book is going to help us out. I'm looking forward to teaching this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to just give a quick introduction, quick overview of the book. Lord, well, it's pretty plain, pretty clear where this is going and what the book wants to accomplish in our heart. Thank you, Lord, for of all of the, and I know, Lord, you could have chosen anybody, but it's meaningful to my heart that you took the disciple that I think loved you probably more than any other disciple and just had a unique and unusually close relationship, to be able to take him and to be able to say, I'm going to use you to write this book. I'm going to use you to explain to the people the difference between somebody that's truly saved and somebody that's just, maybe they're just, bless their heart, maybe they're just deceived. Maybe they honestly know they're not. But I'm going to use you, John, because if anybody manifested the evidences of a changed life and a transformed heart, if anybody literally and actually became a new creature in Jesus Christ, boy, John, it was you. So, Lord, help us to be helped, we pray in Jesus' name.